with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs now joins us on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. Try one on the grill. It's quick and easy. And, of course, you read Biggsy in the Chicago Tribune and the National Football Post, NFPost.com, and you must follow him on Twitter. He's always at Twitter. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's just time to get started. It'll be fun to take a look at this Bears team. I don't expect to see a long run for the first team, but we will get a chance to see the depth and to see some of the speed and size and athleticism that was on display at training camp.
Right, right. And there's a lot on the line for these guys that will be creating headlines over the next several weeks in terms of battling for roster positions and the depth chart. The first preseason game and the fourth preseason game, you just get a ton of reps and action for these backup guys. And I think when you consider that with the changes in the collective bargaining agreement and the reduction of padded practices and the reduction in time that the coaches can spend with the players on the field, that makes these game reps even more valuable. The stuff that's going to be on tape to help the club shape its roster decisions. So very important for these guys that are battling for jobs really on the bottom third of the roster. I don't think there are a ton of jobs available, but you never know what's going to happen. And injuries certainly can play a big part of that. And the Bears have been very fortunate thus far in the preseason to stay relatively clean down in Bourbonnais.
I know you want to get your skill guys out of there as quickly as possible, Brad, but given the questions on the offensive line still, do you keep them out there longer than you might normally?
I don't know what Mike Tice's plan is, but he's settled on his starting five, so I don't think that it's a situation where they'd be out a whole lot longer. I mean, maybe Gabe Kareemi and Jamarcus Webb get a little bit more work, but I think, you know, a guy like Garza, a guy like Chris Spencer, you probably want to get them out of there when you pull out the regular starters.
Brad, am I wrong to think that, especially when you're talking about, you know, Jay Cutler, he's not going to play much at all, but is Jason Campbell going to play much? I mean, Campbell, when we talked to him, talked about this idea of getting a chance to get a full run and getting the whole sweat and getting out there and playing the position, but he's another guy coming off an injury. I know he's clear and he's playing, but are we going to see more Josh McCown and maybe a little Matt Blanchard here?
Yeah, I would think that McCown will probably get the most playing time. I think you got to have Campbell out there and let him work, because while some of this stuff is new to Cutler and the transition that they've made from Martz to Tice, it's all brand new to Jason Campbell. So you need to have him out there. Obviously, the better the quarterback you have out there, maybe the better look you get at some of the skill guys as well. But I don't think you look at Campbell and say, oh, gosh, we can't play him too much in preseason. I would think that he'd certainly probably be out before halftime or at halftime anyway, though.
So who are some of the young guys you're going to be looking at? Are there guys that not only may be fighting for depth chart position but fighting for a job on this roster? I guess Dane Zanzibacher would be one of them, right?
Yeah, he'd have to certainly be at the top of the list. I think you talk about the cornerbacks that they drafted at the end of the draft, Isaiah Fry and Greg McCoy. Fry's a guy that the coaches and some of the other players have talked about a little bit down in camp, so he's a guy that's opened some eyes. But we see it every year where there will be a guy kind of, you know, catch fire a little bit in the first couple weeks of preseason, training camp, and then you get to the preseason games and you finish watching the game. Hey, what happened to him? Where was he? And they just kind of disappear. And I'm not suggesting by any stretch that that's going to happen to Isaiah Fry, but that does happen. And then you have guys that you didn't see a lot from down in camp, and they start to pop up. But you have to – you can't get overexcited about it. You know, remember Robert Hughes, the running back that was here a year ago, guys, and he had a couple – nice runs with 4 minutes to play in a preseason game, and he had some decent statistics, and fans started going, you know, crazy for him. And you got to consider he's running against guys that are going to be driving delivery trucks here in a couple weeks. you know, the competition wasn't there, and fans couldn't believe how they couldn't keep a back like that on the roster. And Lord knows they shouldn't have kept a guy like Marion Barber either. But you get a guy like that every year. And so you can't get too excited about it. And I do know this. Whatever Shea McClellan does tonight will be overblown, good or bad. You know, if Shea McClellan goes out and has a sack right away and knocks the quarterback down two times and picks up a fumble, tomorrow morning people are going to have him headed to Canton. You know, forget the regular season opener. He's going to go straight to Canton. And if he, you know, goes out and performs poorly, it's going to be, a draft pick made by Jerry Angelo before he walked out the door. So it's still awful early. There's a lot of stuff to do before we get to that Colts game.
Yeah, no question about it. But I do think that he's one of the more intriguing figures here because he will be playing quite a bit, and he should be playing against some of the kind of guys maybe he was playing against at Boise. And also, as you think about it, he gets a chance to finish plays, and that's supposed to be his great gift, this motor on the kid. So I'm looking forward to seeing him, and I'm with you. I don't think we'll learn a hell of a lot, but I do think that there will be a lot of conclusions drawn, right or wrong, just based on how athletic the guy looks, if he's got enough strength, if he can put a couple moves together. I think a lot of people will be breaking that one down.
Can you imagine the headlines if he goes out and buries Caleb Haney tonight?
Well, yeah. Conversely, Bigsy, if he buries himself, will he be? I mean, his confidence was shaken in that first week. We talked to him. You talked to him. If he goes out there and doesn't do well, it might be overblown, but perception becomes reality a lot of times. And all of a sudden, it's going to be, you know, he's going to be even questioning himself that much more because he did it on a bigger stage.
Right. It's just critical for this team to be able to find some additional consistent help at defensive end. And my goodness, we've talked about this since January, really, that the lack of a third defensive end. Now, Corey Wooten, guys, has had a pretty nice training camp, and we saw him have a nice training camp last summer, and they got in the preseason opener, and there was a special teams play,
yeah.
And boom, he injures his knee, and it was all downhill from there. So Corey Wooten has got an opportunity. This is a critical preseason for him, in my opinion, the former fourth-round pick. What can he show? So keep an eye on him, because when you talk about young guys you're going to look at, I think you need to focus on positions too. And certainly, you know, whoever is in line behind Peppers and Adonijé, whatever order they're coming in, you want to keep a close eye on them because, boy, they need some help there.
You know, we have the replacement officials, obviously, in this game tonight. And I fully expect, Brad, that they will get a deal done with the officials before the start of the season. I think it's crucial that they do. But maybe this plays into the hands of a Jay Webb or Gabe Karimi or something. You should be able to pretty much get away with anything. And I don't know. I mean, pre-snap penalties are probably even obvious for replacement officials. But what, there were six penalties called in one game already? I mean, they it's not like they're going to be throwing a lot of laundry in a field.
No, and that's the expectation when you talk to veteran people around the league, is that it is going to take flagrant, obvious stuff that you can see from the top row at Soldier Field to get a yellow flag out of an official's pocket. So we'll see how that goes. What I don't understand is how the National Football League, which is so big on, you know, television ratings, and they want people to show up and pay their hard-earned money for tickets that, I mean, these are expensive tickets for people to go to, for people to go with their buddy, for people to take their family to an NFL game. And when you're going to ask people to pay that kind of money and then put officials out there that are coming from, you know, Division IV nowhere state conference, officiating a National Football League game, it makes no sense to me. You know, cut a deal,
yeah,
with the people that are the best in the world at doing this. And it's easy Monday morning to look at a call or two that didn't go the right way and complain about it. But when you watch the number of things that go on every snap in an NFL game,
yeah,
these guys do a pretty damn good job.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. We will see you tonight.
Enjoy the game, boys.
Take care,
Biggs.
That is
Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune, National Football Post, and always a Twitter. Mully and Hanley on the Score.